We're going to start with ACLU of Iowa Legal Director Rita Bettis, and then Susanna DeBaca, who is the CEO and head of Planned Parenthood of the Greater Heartland. I think I got that title correctly.
Just Heartland.
Okay, just Heartland. Oh, yeah, it used to be Greater Heartland. And then we also have Mike Folkstrom, who is general counsel with Planned Parenthood of the Heartland. And he will not be speaking, but he'll be available to answer questions after. So why don't we come on and Rita and explain to the fine folks what's going on.
So welcome. I am Rita Bettis. I'm the legal director for the ACLU of Iowa. Today, we at the ACLU of Iowa and Planned Parenthood Federation of America moved urgently to file a lawsuit seeking to block the state from implementing provisions of a new abortion restriction that the governor has announced he will sign this Friday, May 5th at 8:30 a.m. The law has an immediate effective date, meaning that once the governor signs it, women in Iowa will face immediate harm. Some of those have existing medical appointments. The law imposes a strict new 72-hour waiting period for women seeking an abortion at any stage of their pregnancy. It also imposes an additional clinic appointment, which is entirely medically unnecessary. It includes no general health exception, nor exceptions for women with non-viable fetuses, for women who are the victims of sexual assault or intimate partner violence, or rural women who have to travel hundreds of miles in some cases to reach the nearest clinic where they can receive care. It provides only extremely narrowly defined medical exceptions. For some women with existing appointments, they will be at or very near the point in pregnancy when medication abortion is no longer an option. As a result of the new additional appointment and 72-hour waiting period, those women will be forced to decide between having a surgical procedure or being stopped from accessing a safe and legal abortion altogether. And that's their right as protected under the Constitution. This bill was passed with an immediate effective date, as I mentioned. That means that the new law will take full effect when pen is taken to paper. And it will immediately interrupt the appointments and lives of women already scheduled to have abortion procedures that very day and following days. That was reckless on the part of Iowa legislators. And it immediately throws the lives of women and medical services in Iowa into a state of chaos. So with that in mind, the ACLU and Planned Parenthood attorneys rushed to file this urgent request for a stay to protect women in Iowa. And we've just learned a few minutes before this press conference that a hearing has been set for tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. to hear our arguments.
Where?
Thank you. At the Polk County District Court.
No, where?
I believe it's room 301. Mike might know that more precisely. Might be 310.
310.
And so with that, I'm going to hand it off.
1:30
p.m. tomorrow. I'm going to hand it off to Susanna DeBaca. Thank you.
Thank you, Rita. We are filing this lawsuit ahead of Governor Branstad signing this bill into law to protect scores of women who would be immediately impacted by this violation of women's health rights. This new law will interrupt appointments for patient care. It will interrupt women's lives. The burdens of the three-day forced waiting period and the medically unnecessary two-trip requirement will have a devastating impact on women who are already facing barriers to care, including low-income women, rural women, victims of intimate partner violence, and sexual assault. The governor, lieutenant governor, and Iowa legislators have waged an outright war on women's access to safe and legal abortion. Planned Parenthood will continue to fight, and we will pursue every possible avenue to continue providing care to our patients, no matter what.
So with that, I think we'll go ahead and open it to any questions that you guys have. Yeah, Sarah.
Didn't you know that it was an immediate effective date, or when did you find that out?
You go ahead.
Sure. So we knew when the law was passed that it had an immediate effective date, but the governor has just announced his intention to sign the bill this Friday at 8:30 a.m.
So is there a reason that you're filing it today? Why couldn't you have filed it like last week?
As soon as we learned that the governor intended to sign the bill, because remember we had asked him to veto the bill, we filed this action.
As soon as you learned that.
What will be the procedure for tomorrow? Will there be an attorney for you on your behalf and an attorney on the governor's behalf give oral arguments, or what sort of a hearing is it?
It's a hearing on our motion for a temporary injunction. And so Alice Clapman, who is an attorney with Planned Parenthood Federation of America, will argue the case on behalf of Planned Parenthood of the Heartland and Jill Meadows.
Alice
Clapman. C-L-A-P-M-A-N. The petitioners, Planned Parenthood of the Heartland and Dr. Jill Meadows, and attorneys from the Attorney General's office will defend the law on behalf of the state. So we will ask the judge to issue a temporary injunction. That asks the judge to maintain the status quo of the parties, basically keeping the law from going into effect until the case can be heard on its merits moving forward.
Is your basis that this is unconstitutionally vague, or what's the premise of it?
So the harm of this law is going to be immediately felt for women who have existing appointments. The harm will be felt for all women who will schedule appointments moving forward. This is absolutely a violation of all of those women's rights to seek a safe and legal abortion.
But what's the legal basis for overturning the law?
We've made due process and equal protection arguments, and you can find those described more thoroughly, of course, in our filings themselves. Unconstitutional as a violation of due process and equal protection.
The press release cites, I think, two states that have similar laws, Missouri and South Dakota. It says Louisiana passed a similar law, but it's been temporarily enjoined. Are the Missouri and South Dakota laws in effect, and did they pass a constitutional?
They have not been vetted by a court, so we can't say that they have passed a constitutional test. We would say that they're unconstitutional. Of course, abortion litigation tends to be highly fact-specific, and we in Iowa are not in a position to challenge other states' laws. But what we can say is that this law in Iowa is unconstitutional and really poses an immediate risk to the well-being of Iowa women. We're challenging in this action provision one, which is the 72-hour requirement and the unnecessary appointment requirement. It doesn't mean that we think that the remaining portions of the law are constitutional, but we're not challenging them in this particular action.
Do you know what judge is hearing this?
Judge Farrell has been assigned. We haven't challenged the 20-week ban in this particular action, but that doesn't mean that we think the 20-week ban is appropriate or constitutional.
Might you challenge it later?
We never comment in answer to that particular question.
Okay.
All right, and then I think probably Susanna would
take
some questions.
Any additional things you'd like to say, or any questions?
Actually, can you just explain? I know you directed us to the filing, but can you explain specifically what's unconstitutional about the 72-hour and then the two? Like, can you just explain both provisions and why those are?
Sure. So courts have long held that women have a constitutional right to seek a safe and legal abortion. That's part of their fundamental rights of autonomy. And in this case, that's the due process argument. In this case, we're also bringing the argument as a violation of women's equal protection rights. Importantly, in Iowa, there is no similar 72-hour waiting period for any procedure.
If the bill is signed, when the bill is signed into law on Friday, if we do not have a temporary injunction, then those women are coming to our facility or any other facility anticipating that they're going to have their procedure done that day. And in fact, we would have to comply, and other abortion providers would have to comply with the new law, which would mean that we would need to tell these patients, this will be your first visit, and you will have to come back for a visit next week again. So that would, as we're saying, interrupt their lives and could create the need for additional travel. There's expense. Who knows what's happening in their lives in terms of child care, lost wages, et cetera. And so these women will come in being told that they're going to have to go through an experience very different than they thought when they made the appointment.
Mm-hmm. Option. At what point is that not available in a pregnancy?
The medication abortion goes up to
10 weeks.
It's to 10 weeks. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there is a possibility that someone made an appointment thinking they can have a medication abortion, and then
right. And if there's a delay for some reason that's more than a week, then they would be ineligible for that. And they would end up having a surgical abortion, and the risk is much less with a medication abortion, although all abortion is really fairly low risk.
This challenge is based on the Iowa Constitution.
Okay, and that's why whatever other states, there might be some analogies, but it's not.
Ultimately, the Iowa Supreme Court has not decided this question under the Iowa Constitution, which is the case that we're bringing. Of course, they did decide the telemedicine abortion case recently in favor of Planned Parenthood. That's correct, under the Iowa Constitution.